Welcome to the Edible Valley Podcast. I'm Blaine Prose.
And I'm Jonathan Fraser. And we are here to invite you to join with us once again on our ongoing adventure in our Edible Valley.
On today's episode, we're talking with Chef Aaron Stigant of Crown Isle Resort. Welcome, Aaron. Andrew. I knew I was going to do that tonight.
We practiced the last name so hard. It's okay. I'll give you. It's a gimme on the first name.
Missed the first name.
I got the last name, but not the first name.
It's all right. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, right, it's great to have you here. We're very interested to chat a little bit about, find out a little bit about yourself and a little bit about Crown Isle, where you're at. So
yeah, there's some pretty exciting events coming up at Crown Isle, as we just heard from Hans Peter Meyer.
Yes.
Which you will hear at the end of this episode.
That's right.
Oh, the world of editing. So what's new in the Comox Valley these days, John?
Well, you know, busy at the cafe as usual, you know, never stops. So there's always something new happening with new staff and just working in a restaurant. That's how it goes. I got out to Crown Isle the other night there with, I know we did talk about it, but I received the Comox Valley Chamber of Commerce 40 Under 40 Awards. So I'm one of the 40.
Congratulations.
People in the Comox Valley, which, yeah, it's good, a little like exciting for me to be recognized, and it's exciting to have just the our industry recognized as being influential in the Comox Valley. So that was kind of cool for me. It was a beautiful event, wonderful food.
Thank you. Yeah, it was nice to see. It was very prestigious. It was good to see everybody out there. A lot of people, well recognized for sure.
Well recognized. We had a Paralympic gold medalist, Michelle Stillwell, who gave a very interesting speech and definitely pumped us all up there. Got the whole crowd singing O Canada at one moment where she showed her winning or getting presented her gold medal. And it's just amazing to see that, you know, that determination that she puts in and how much work and energy that goes into such a short period of time that she has that one chance to make a to win a gold medal. So it was pretty amazing. So, and she won a gold medal at the London Olympics this year and a silver medal. So the gold was in the 200, and in the 100 she came in, got the silver, which was actually pretty impressive to see that she slipped off her start and was able to come back and almost could have had the gold medal.
Was this in sprints?
This was in the sprints in the wheelchair. So, it was pretty amazing. Yeah. Great speech. So, but it was a good event for me.
Cool. The farmer's market moved indoors.
The farmer's market is indoors. I didn't get out to it because I've been in the restaurant.
I got there.
Like me.
Like you, yeah.
I got there briefly on Saturday to go see Scott and Marissa from Tree Island Gourmet Yogurt.
Yes.
Oh, and, how did that go? Well, I got there and they were going to send us a tub of yogurt to have for our test kitchen. And they didn't actually bring any product to sell because they weren't quite ready. They didn't think they had enough inventory to actually try and to sell it because they wanted to make sure they have a bit of a buffer. And the response from people has just been overwhelming. Like they brought a bunch there for samples and they totally ran out. So I didn't get any yogurt because they were all totally out. And, so anyways, they have been I've been emailing with them a few times and they just feel so blessed that the response they've been getting. And so they're a little overwhelmed by everything right now with just how big a response it is, but that bodes well for the future of their business. So,
Because they've been headlined for a while now, and I didn't know when they were actually going to start producing.
They keep pushing it.
Yeah.
They've had a lot of battles to get all their permits and get everything lined up. And so,
it's a big undertaking. Yeah. I mean, they're really the only one of their kind on Vancouver Island. So the powers that be don't really know how to approach their sort of situation. Right. So I think they had a lot of hoops to jump through and a lot of inventing things. And
because what's his background? Is he not a PhD or something? And
he's a microbiologist.
Right. So almost perfect, like, considering the culture. And
Exactly. Yeah.
Nice.
Kind of nailed that industry. So
So it's good to see them because I poked around there. The first time was back in probably early July. I think I stopped by the plant there one day just to see, because I hadn't met them, and just to see what was going on and invite Scott to come on the podcast. And he was our first guest once we moved into Jet FM Studios here. And So it was kind of interesting to see it all. And so I've known Scott for a few months now and been just following along and keeping in contact. So I'm pretty happy for them. Yeah. That's really good. That's really great. Nice people.
Yeah.
So young family too. And so, yeah, so that happened. What did I do this weekend? I made some apple chutney on Saturday. I did some more canning, of course. Alert. What have you been doing lately? Things always seem the same. John's always in the Atlas kitchen. I'm always in my kitchen at home.
One day we'll get out.
One day we'll do something
different. We have a few small events we get out to once in a while. Yeah. So that's always good. And people are always coming by and telling us what's going on. So
yeah, it's good. Yeah. I went out for a drive yesterday with a friend and my daughter and his son. And we went up towards Upper Quinsam Lake, do some deer hunting and stuff, and drove around. That was a lot of fun. We looked for mushrooms up there. I didn't find a damn thing.
No mushrooms at this time?
No. So we came back pretty empty-handed. I picked up a few pieces of firewood that I saw laying along the road. That was about it. But, no, it was still a good day to get out and just have a look at some different country. So
excellent.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I guess now we move on to the main event here. Sit down and chat with Andrew just about himself and Crown Isle. So you've been the executive chef now at Crown Isle since 2009, so about 3 years now?
Yeah, about 3 years, yeah.
That's great.
Just coming up on.
And now Crown Isle, for people who don't know, is a premier golf course on Vancouver
Island. Golf course and resort, yes.
Yeah. Yes.
Pretty much has its own community.
It does. And it's growing around that area every day.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
I guess that's one thing we never talked about is that Thrifty's just opened up right next door to you.
Yep.
And there's a bunch of big box stores up there as well as other businesses starting to pop up all over the place. But you guys were sort of the first ones in there. And
they were the first ones in there coming up on, I think, 15, 16 years now. And when it was just a twinkle in the owner's eye, I mean, Ron Colson's logger from Rupert many years ago, he came in, brought the property and just has taken, I mean, originally the golf course was it, and then of course afterwards the real estate came in afterwards. So,
right.
I mean, a massive retirement community, and it's perfect, and considering the hospital's going in there, absolutely perfect for anybody looking to retire.
And it's just growing and growing.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, hence Thrifty's is in there now, again, the big box stores. So, yeah. It's a great place to live and to work, too. So.
Perfect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you get the premier restaurant in the area.
Yep. Exactly. Yes. Yeah.
So I guess we'd like to start out by just asking you, like, how did you get into the restaurant business or into food service?
Wow. It seems so long ago. I guess you might not know it, but I actually grew up here and went to school here. I graduated at Vanier. I won't say the year, but quite a while ago.
Yeah, we don't do that either.
And in my teens, I actually worked at a number of the oyster farms around here. I worked at Max for a couple of years, Bain Sound as well, with the Turnowskis there. Mm-hmm. And they're still all here, still know them all very well. But yeah, that's for pretty much 16. I used to ride my bike from Courtney all the way out to Fanny Bay every weekend.
And, good ride.
Go out on the beaches. Yeah, very good ride. Mm-hmm. Good on the beaches first thing in the morning and either picking or shucking. It was awesome.
I'm an oyster worker along too. Yeah. I didn't actually. So, I never worked on the beach. I worked in the processing plant.
Oh, did you in the processing?
Yeah. So.
Yeah. And long hours, backbreaking work, but when you're a teen, it didn't really matter.
Getting some money, right?
Yep.
Yeah, spending money.
And I worked at a place called, my first experience with probably dishwashing at a restaurant called the Van Horn, which used to be right across from the Whistle Stop many years ago. Where, I was 15 maybe, 15 or 16. Same thing, I used to ride my bike down. I would get out of there 1 o'clock in the morning, and my only saving grace was I remember the chef there had amazing cheesecakes, and he'd always let me take a piece home. So I got home, and I tell you, every night I probably took it until I got sick of it. My dad started catching on to it, and he loved it, so he ate it every time I got home. Make sure you bring one for me. Yeah. And that sort of got me working towards my career and where I wanted to go. So after that, I ended up heading down to Nanaimo to Malaspina, where I did a year there in the late 80s, early 90s. And after that, I took off for the Rockies.
Right, Lake Louise, was that?
Lake Louise, yeah.
Excellent.
Lake Louise, yeah. So it's... Lake Louise, if you've being in your late teens, early 20s, to head up into the Rockies for the skiing and everything, and then have getting into your cooking and your passion and your apprenticeship, it's awesome. I thought I'd only, because I'm a West Coast boy, so getting into the Rockies, I thought maybe I'll do 6 months up there, but almost 5.5 years later,
wow,
I was still there.
Wow, cool.
But loved it. Just fell in love with it. I mean, just the area, the people, the everything from mountain biking to actually, because I was a skier for many years, and I started boarding about 2 years into it. Never thought I would, but yeah, I took it over, and I switched pretty quick.
Switched over.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Now, there's some fabulous restaurants in that area.
Oh, yeah.
Some amazing talent down in that area.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. I mean, I studied in my apprenticeship under Dominique Guillon. I don't know if he's in the business any longer, but he was a French Parisian and just quite the character for sure. About my height, 6'6", and just he walked with a limp from a motorbike accident. And you didn't cross him. I mean, as an apprentice there, it was a scary time, because right, everybody there, I mean, it was all European trained. All the chefs were there. Not too many Canadian chefs, so trying to make it up the ladder as a Canadian young apprentice was difficult.
Mm-hmm.
But fortunately, I don't know why, he took me under his wing for some reason, I don't know, took me under his wing and popped me into everywhere he could. So I mean, I saw a lot of places. He had a house out in Golden, and his neighbor had brought down a moose and a couple of elk as well, and he had his butchers come out, and he asked me to come out to Golden with him and help him butcher him up, and that was phenomenal. I mean, being a second-year apprentice, getting out exec out
just
to
that
the country.
Experience, yeah. Yeah.
Although it's the German, our butchers were Swiss and Czech, and all they would sing nonstop while they're butchering. Even in the butcher shop at the chateau, they just sing nonstop while they were butchering.
Wow!
And
wow,
speed, just crazy speed. Like just watching them, you're going, no way. And that's where I saw it, because I spent almost a year in a butcher shop there, so it was really neat to see. Wow. And all we did was drink snaps and sing while we're butchering these animals. And I got to take a bit home too, so it was pretty neat.
That sounds a European sort of thing to do.
Yes.
Yeah, that's where I first learned how to do butchery too, is at the Kingfisher when we James there brought in a couple of veal cows, and he got me to help him cut those up. And I love butchering. It's a total hobby of mine, and I cut up my own game and all that. And
nice.
I just love it. I think it's fun.
Cool. Do you hunt locally?
Yeah.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Great.
So yeah, it's a neat. It's, I don't know. It's just something cool about it. Yeah. I really like doing it and making
and
sausages
better than, and filling your freezer.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Perfect. And so from Lake Louise, you came back to the island, is that right?
Or from Lake Louise. Well, I did a bit of, I was over in Europe for a bit. I went there and did a stage in a few restaurants, but mostly visiting relatives. I just wanted to go away and take off for a bit. And
especially after Lake Louise, you probably needed that.
Yeah. So, I mean, I was in Scotland for a while, and Ireland, France, Wales, where my family's all from. So it was more just visiting and hanging out and taking a break before I really got back into it. And then I made it back, my way back to the island, where Tofino was my next stop.
Tofino was your next stop.
Yeah.
Now, you were a chef at the Tin West?
That was my, I started out as a chef de partie there, and then climbed up the ladder to Sue, and then became exec. I was the exec there for about a year and a half.
Was that your first executive chef?
Yes. Yeah. Excellent. Probably a little bit quick for me. I don't think I wasn't quite ready for it, but I got thrown the reins. I said, sure, let's run with it and see what I can do. So it was a really neat experience, and I had a good time. The Tin West was pretty much completely native run. They were trying to move it that way. So it was neat. I mean, just to see the ceremonies that were held there, just absolutely phenomenal. I mean, it was just a really, really neat experience for sure. Really good people. Awesome.
Right.
Yeah, really good experience for sure.
For sure.
Yeah.
And then your next move?
After that, it was I was at the Way West for a short stint, just about a year there. And then my turning point was the Wiccan Inish.
The Wiccan Inish, right.
Yeah. So that was definitely my turning point there. So with Rod Butters. And that was about a year, I guess, about a year after it had opened.
Right.
And I got in there, and then sort of slowly climbed up, and it was awesome. Really good experience.
So what kind of stuff were you doing there? Just
at the Wick?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Where do I start? I mean, for him, I mean, he was a very good, he was very much about the local, getting out there. I mean, we were going out and picking mussels off the beach, gooseneck barnacles, right? Going out with those and just, it was just like, I was like going, really? The first time I saw a gooseneck barnacle, I was going, what the heck is this?
I am with you.
Like, what are we going to do there? Seriously? And
ugly.
Yeah, ugly, very ugly. Yeah. I was like going, no, but.
You want to eat that? Yeah.
I've never tasted them. What are they like?
I think they're beautiful.
Yeah, they are. They're fabulous. Yeah. I mean, they're just on the barbecue real quick, just a garlic butter, and they're absolutely phenomenal. Okay.
Do you take the shell off of them?
Or? Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay, yeah. They've got quite a nasty rubbery outside. They just pop out. They're on the grill. Okay. They just pop right out of their skin, and then just, yeah.
Because I've seen them, like, on the West Coast up by Raft Cove and places. Yeah. I've seen them, but I thought, well, what do you do with these things? Yeah. I was always curious about it, so... Huh, nice. Yeah.
It's been a few years, but it has a nice tender meat to it, sort of like scallopy, prawny sort of.
Yeah. But to look at it, you'd be like going, no.
I don't think so. Cool.
Yeah.
I'll have to remember that for next summer when I'm up that way.
And all the seafood we get there, everything from the halibut to the salmon to, I mean, I've worked with sea cucumber up there, which you don't see too much, to Dungeness crab and everything else. So it's, it was just that whole part of it was just absolutely phenomenal. Yeah.
Did you work with seaweeds at all?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Diane from Victoria, she actually started, the first time I ever saw it was somebody that actually started farming and I think it was Outer Coast Seaweeds, I believe. Was it? I can't remember exactly.
She's the seaweed lady.
The seaweed lady. And she'd have everything papyrus to all kinds of dried seaweeds to, and it was fabulous to work with, from the gear salads and everything else. So yeah, we did work with it a bit there.
Cool.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah, that's another thing I want to try and add to my repertoire is playing with a bit of seaweed.
With a bit of seaweed?
Yeah. It's just everywhere. So it's cool stuff.
Yeah.
It's one of some of the fastest growing plants on the planet.
Yeah. So. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great resource. So.
Like your bull kelp chutney that you made on the maple leaf?
Yeah, that's one of my favorite. Did a bull kelp chutney. And
yeah.
I mean, it was neat when I was working on the boat because we always had naturalists, so they would always drag something off the beach and be like, cook with us.
Yeah.
And be like, what? So, yeah, got a little creative over a few nights.
There's so much around. And it was a big kick for a year or so there, but I haven't seen it around too much. Lately.
No, it's kind of dwindled. I keep asking, and everyone's sort of like, "Oh, I haven't seen any." So.
What's that bull kelp like to buy it to use?
Just seaweed. Seaweeds in general.
Okay. General, unless you're going to your local sushi place, it's pretty much the only time you'll ever see it dried and made into rolls.
Excellent. So I guess after you did your Tofino stint, this is where I first found out about you. You were down at. Down to Victoria, right?
Yes.
At the Grand Pacific.
Yes.
Yeah, because you worked with my wife there, which you probably don't remember, but she was a front desk agent.
Yes, that's right.
In the beginning. And she still talks about the smoked salmon bisque there.
Oh, at the, which we actually just featured out at the, that's
at Flavor. So she nailed that. She's like, I know where that is from. I love that.
Yeah.
Why can't you make that?
Yeah. Oh, that's fabulous. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that was the Hotel Grand was another turning point for me as well. I started as a sous chef there, and going out of the hotels from Lake Louise and going to the smaller restaurants when I moved to Tofino, which I really like because it definitely a lot more hands on. You get a lot more representation of who you are and what you do.
Mm-hmm.
You go into the big hotels, especially when you take over and as a exec, you can almost lose that.
Right,
you become the paper guy.
Exactly. Yeah. But even with Crown Isle, I try and get as much of me into it as I can, get on the line when I can, do the banquets. Otherwise you just lose it, right? And I still find myself sometimes I'll jump on the line on a crazy Saturday night and I'll be like, okay, I need to get back in for sure. Yeah. But I mean, it's tough when you've got, it's not just 40 seats you're worrying about. It's the number of different outlets. I mean, the catering sides of it, you name it, right?
There's 100 things on the go in any restaurant, especially with catering on top of a normal line that's going on. Yeah, it easily can steal you away. Yeah. And so.
But the Hotel Grand was definitely another big turning point for me, taking on that size of an operation and moving slowly over 2 years into the exact position.
Mm-hmm.
It was really good. I had a lot of good people I worked with, and I definitely focused on a lot of things with that hotel. The mark, going putting in that fine dining aspect and having that small little 30-seater that we could focus on tasting menus and a lot more. That's when I started working a lot more with the local farms as well, which is really cool. I had this Greek guy that came in. It was so funny. Every once a week he'd come in and he just had his hands were just gnarly and dirt infested, you know, and just grubby. And he'd come in with these just, you know, all types of herbs and plants and little baby vegetables and, you know, beets. And I'm like, oh, you know, and I just said, yeah, just I'll take it all. I'll take it all. Right. I didn't care. And everybody goes, well, you know, they'll come in and say, well, haven't you gone, aren't you going organic? And I'm like, well, no, he doesn't have an organic farm, man. But he's like, he comes in, and I just know him. And I'm just like going, doesn't matter. I'm like, doesn't matter. Right? It was fabulous. I mean, his produce was just amazing. Right.
So, yeah.
Because there was the organic kick was huge at one point there.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody just goes, where aren't you? I said, well, I've got this guy I've been dealing with for years, and he doesn't have an organic license.
Yeah, but he doesn't want to pay to be certified.
He's out there every single day. Like, I know him. I've been out to his farm. He's out there watering. He's out, you know, I know what he uses to, to fertilize and do all those plants and everything else. So it's all, you know, it's natural. I know where it's coming from. That's all I need to know.
Mm-hmm.
So
you're a bit ahead of the local movement.
Yes. Yeah. Well, that and also we had, as far as the sustainable fisheries there as well,
right.
I started that up at the Grand as well, which was used for us. So the OceanWise program, I started that, implemented that. I got over to Vancouver to the aquarium there and saw and chatted with them. And I took my girls at the same time they got us a tour. We snuck through the back door. So it was
perfect.
Cool.
Yes.
So, yeah, I met with Robert Clark, talked to him a little bit about it as well. So it was fascinating, a great thing to do, especially when in a place that size.
Oh, yeah.
Right. So trying to encompass, you know, the sustainability and the OceanWise program in a place that big. And yeah, I really have to go slow because sometimes you just can't do it all at once.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, to try and make your price points work on your menus and everything.
It doesn't always work.
Yeah, so you know what, you do what you can, and that's all they ask. And I was happy about that because I thought they'd come in and say, you know, well, no, you can't use this or you can't do this. But they don't say that. They're just happy that you're trying to, you know, move on that sustainability.
Excellent. Perfect. So then I guess after the Grand, it was the move back to the Valley.
Back to the Valley. I just knew it would be a great move for me. My girls, I have 8-year-olds and 6-year-old, 2 girls going on 20-something.
Yeah.
And,
we know what that's like, don't we, John?
I'm learning.
Yeah. And they are my life. They definitely make my day easy. Every day is easy with them. It's just they smile every day, and they're just they're my girls, and that's what made me come back to the Valley. So because I knew I had amazing upbringing here, and just the best of anything is here.
Right.
From, you know, from the mountains to the ocean, like you've probably heard it 100,000 times, but
I think
to the
we
people,
say
to
it.
The food, all mm-hmm. of it. I mean, it's just absolutely fabulous here. So I'm happy to be back and. Opened up the bistro with an old friend of mine I used to play rugby with, and that was the Anderton Bistro.
And honestly, that scared me so bad when that place opened up because it went from, you know, there's a Comox Valley quality to food, and all of a sudden you brought in this next level, and it was like, whoa, I'm going to have to pick up my game.
Oh, I don't think I had anything to worry about. I was like, I heard about all your food before I even came here, and it was neat to come in. My family came in and said, well, can we come here instead of going to your place, Dad? I'm like, no. But it was neat to come and because Ron really wanted to do something different at the bistro from the Leeward. I mean, he'd had a pub all his life, and he really likes good food, and so he wanted to see what he could do with it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was neat. It was fun. It was fun.
Amazing food, because I know my staff was going out there all the time, and they were commenting on all the different dishes, and it was really nice to have that quality out there. Not that we've lost it, because you're still doing it.
Still around, just in a bigger venture now, bigger scene. Yeah.
But yeah, no, that was a fabulous, fabulous cool. restaurant, what you were doing there. So, and then you got to Crown Isle.
Crown Isle, yeah.
Crown Isle, and so.
Crown Isle jumped in my lap, and because they had, it's Ron sort of, the bistro would have kept going, but because the licensing changed, where he didn't need the food and beverage side of it to have the beer and wine store, he says, you know what, I think I'm going to retire, Andy. I said, okay, that's all right. I understand. I understand. So, but then Crown Isle, jumped in my lap, and they were looking for somebody. So uh, I, uh, I undertook it. I was, believe me, I had to think hard about it because it's another big venture, and I kind of was like wanted to, you know, sort of take things down a bit because I wanted to get back to what my passion was, which was the food, which I started with the bistro. So I knew I'd be pulling out a little bit going into that size of a venture again, because it does take you away from getting out to the farmer's market every weekend. Mm-hmm. It's because the timelines are very, you know, it's just difficult. So, mm-hmm. But I have tried to keep a bit on there, and even with the menus when I started there, we went that route. So it's been good. It's been it's been a roller coaster, but it's been good.
It's been good. Excellent. So I guess a couple little things. You still like to cook at home?
Absolutely.
Yeah?
I can't get away from it. My wife, if I'm home, I'm cooking.
Is that so?
And right? I just love it. Yeah, absolutely. If I get home, if I happen to get home early on one of the midweek sometime, yeah, I can get home and I'm cooking. Excellent. It's what my girls expect, so. They've unfortunately got some pretty, their taste buds are going, my food budget's going to be going through the roof when they hit their teens, I'm sure. They're all going to eat.
Hence
like
why
adults.
I'm hunting all the time.
Excellent. Okay. And what is one of the hardest dishes for you?
Oh, one of the hardest dishes. You know what? It's a difficult question because anything that I'm given, I'll do.
Right.
I might not get it right the first time, but I'll sure as hell try and, you know, produce what I can, and it might be completely off. You know what it is, but I always find it a challenge. I never find it hard. I never go, I'm never doing this again kind of thing, but I will always give it my, an honest turn and see what I can do with it. So, with saying that, I mean, I know one of your questions coming up is going to probably be, what's my style of cooking and what I like to do. I'm a West Coast boy. I grew up here. I've been fishing all my life. Actually, we started doing these bulletins for Crown Island. Basically, they're just sort of a question and answer sort of trilogies that we're doing on staff and everything at work. So they asked me to put something in. So I had a picture of my dad and I and my brother when we were in the Queen Charlotte Islands. We lived there for about 3 years in a place called Tasu. And it's, you can only get in there by float plane. I wouldn't have liked to have been there 3 days ago when that because to my wife's family's all up there. They live in Queen Charlotte City, so they went through all that.
Oh, scary!
Completely. That's another. That's a whole different story. That was ugly for them. They were quite terrified.
I bet.
But we used to live in Tasu. You could only get in there by seaplane, and my dad was out fishing for halibut, and he caught 197 pound halibut jigging. Just on a, and I got a picture of my brother and I in this halibut, which is about six foot seven from nose to tail, and 4-inch fillets. It was ridiculous. But and that and the salmon up there. So I've always been, seafood has definitely been one of my passions. So I've always loved playing around with it. So yeah, it's one of the things I definitely love to cook. And my girls, like, I went out, I got about it must have been close to 12 pounds of Salt Spring Island mussels I got in for a big mussel fest for my daughter's birthday. And it was just my wife, me, and my two girls, Sienna and Shayla. And we killed it. All 12 pounds gone.
Oh, wow. I
should show you this bowl, this monstrous bowl. I wish I could show you over this. Just absolute empty shells, and they're just sitting there grinning. Grinning from this. Yeah, this big mussel.
I like your kids.
They're all, you know what? One thing I've really, they have to try everything. Mm-hmm. If they don't like it, it's fine, but as long as they try it, right? Mm-hmm. So I've never seen them not like anything or not try anything. I mean, they have their dislikes, but we still give it to them anyway. But they absolutely love everything, and they love trying stuff, and it's amazing what they eat. And nowadays it's just so important that we give that to them, right? And they actually have that otherwise they are going to be growing up on, you know,
cardboard.
Cardboard.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, we're always pushing Michaela on everything.
Yeah. And,
I mean, she grew up on duck.
Yeah.
Like, some of her first solid foods were duck.
Duck.
Which and she loved it.
Yeah.
Like, Sandra would come into the cafe and order a duck breast and whatever, and there'd be Michaela climbing on the table trying to get at the duck breast.
Because duck is awesome.
Can't blame her. I would have done the same thing. Yeah. So,
have you got the kids eating liver?
No, they haven't. No, they haven't. No, they haven't done the liver yet.
I've tried that.
Yeah.
There's
certain things I'm just waiting on, but
yeah. And it didn't fly. She got in her mouth, and then it was the funniest face I ever seen her make.
Oh man.
Yeah. And raw oyster. She did a raw oyster last year. Tried that down on the beach. So yeah.
My girls like oysters, but they have to be cooked.
Yeah.
They gotta be cooked. Yeah. They won't.
Yeah.
Be
I think raw. She likes it cooked better than raw. Yeah. But yeah. She did it anyway.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
I think raw oysters are one of the things that grow on you.
They definitely do.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, working in an oyster at least for a number of years, so yeah, I guess they do. I love them. I personally do. I absolutely love oysters.
Yeah, I could eat dozens of oysters.
Yeah. Honestly, it's been over the last 10 years that they have finally appealed to me.
Right.
I've cooked with them my entire career, and I'm always a little hesitant of them. But lately now, I'm just like, well, all right, I could do a dozen of those.
Yeah.
So,
as long as you do them right.
Yes.
I can eat them pretty much anyway.
Yeah.
Well, we've had a great conversation about you, but we should probably move along and just talk a little bit about Crown Isle.
Perfect.
Because there's been a few changes there. Yes. I know you have a brand new menu.
Yes.
And maybe you just want a little description of where the restaurant's going.
Sure, absolutely. We've had Crown Isle's, we've had two outlets there for a number of years now. One was the Timber Room, one is the Silverado. And the Silverado has changed so many times. It's gone from Silverado to Silverado Grill to West Coast Grill to we just couldn't find out its true identity.
Mm-hmm.
And although we appreciated the fine dining aspect of it, there's a number of places that have come to the Valley, like you'd mentioned. So, I mean, with Renault doing locals, and it's just we found that the need wasn't there for it. And as much as we had hoped and wanted to keep that striving, but so what we've done is we've amalgamated. So we took a bit of both menus and amalgamated them. So now it's kind of the best of both worlds.
Hmm.
One thing we've done is we just actually finally recarpeted after 16 years. So it gives a brand new freshness to the place.
It's amazing how many people commented on that at the 40 under 40 dinner that they were like, did you see the new carpet?
Yeah.
I think I've had four people come up to me over the last week and say, oh, you're at Crown Isle. Do you see the new carpet?
Yeah. Wow,
that's cool. It's like I walk in, I'm still. It's a bit to take in because the carpet in the ballroom is a little sort of. If you stare at it long enough, you start to do the weave. Once you've got people in there and everything, it's fine. I love it. I personally love it. I mean, it's got the lovely logo right in the middle of the as you walk in between the ballroom there, and then I love the carpets in both outlets are very tasteful. I think it's great. It's a definitely great move. So. So with that, I mean, we had the new menus come in, which was nice. So we've sort of amalgamated. I went back to what I had originally done, which was a lot more focus on the local local field as well, just because I did pull away from a bit. And a lot of that was just that was more clientele driven. And I started, you know, hearing, well, we want this back, this back, this back. And the old menu was a lot of very much deep fried sort of. And I was like, I didn't want to go there, but I kind of had to feed the clientele. You know, I mean, if I can't sell anything, it's not, you know, it's not going to work.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I kind of compromised with this amalgamated menu. So, again, focused still a lot more on the local product. I might still use Allen at Tanita's for a lot of my product.
Mm-hmm.
Black Forest bacon, which has gone over really, really well in our restaurants.
That's
always
that served.
Yeah, oh, it's great. Love it. Absolutely love it. So we use that on all our clubs, our burgers we make in-house. So, I mean, that's everything. A lot of our trim and everything we grind in-house.
Mm-hmm.
And then I use Heritage Farms for their ground beef.
Excellent.
So, there's that. Freedom Farms I used all summer for greens, which was really nice. So I got in with Cal there and chatted with him when I saw his
great
farm.
Place,
so it was neat.
Loved
it as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would have liked to have used a lot more. It's just, again, you get into this size of a place where it's difficult like to get to the farmer's market every day to get these people on board when I can only get, you know, 5 pounds in and I've got 200 people that I've got to feed. It's tough to put it out there. It'd be nice if I could just, you know, do a quick menu where I only need, you know, 5 or 6 items that I could put it on. But it's I'm slowly working it back in there, and it's I think next year is going to be definitely a turnaround for a lot more of the local guys getting them in.
It's a little bit too, is once they're producing that larger volume, you can start pulling on it more. Mm-hmm. Like it's a slow trade-off over the next two years, right? Like
George, I love George Blue Moon, love him to death. But I mean, when he had, I mean, he supplied it with his greens all the year before, right? But he had such a hard time keeping up with our volume, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they were great. I mean, he must have had like 24 different varietals that they were hand picking for us.
There's some beautiful,
and it was just stunning. I mean, every bite you had, I mean, the mustard greens and just the pepperiness and some of the bites, you're like, and actually, we actually had a few clients that were just going, just saying, this is way too hot. With your salad, you're going up. Sorry, but
you got the best stuff.
Yeah, you got, you know. So, but yeah.
Yeah, no, I always buy a bag of mustard greens off him every farmer's market that I pass by, and he's got them out there because I have no idea what I'm going to do with it. I just know that I like it.
Yes.
Whether it's just slap it on a sandwich or, you know, do it on something else. It's just beautiful stuff. Nice and peppery. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, so we've got Wine Fest coming up as well.
Yes, Wine Fest. Let's talk about that. Like that is a huge event for you guys.
It is
going to
be, another, it's went off really well last year. We're looking at probably almost 300 people this year.
Wow.
So it's going to be great. We're very excited about that. I use grains a lot, so we got grains coming in, natural pastures. We've got Bison Farm's going to be there as well.
Oh,
so,
excellent.
Sorry, his name's
Mark.
Mark.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, Mark's going to be in there as well. So,
mm-hmm.
be good. And we have 24, 25 vendors as well. So we're using both floors this year.
Oh,
so
excellent.
Up and down. So yeah. So it's going to be
going to
be
big event.
Yeah, big event.
And lots of wine. Are you doing a meal too, or is it?
Yes, we're doing a full reception style. So we're having a lot of fun with it. I've got some elk that I'm going to be making some pate with. I've got some squab and some local duck that I'll be making some terrines with as well. Doing a full charcuterie platter, which should be great.
Oh,
we're going to have a bunch of stationed items as well. Oysters, obviously. We'll have a oyster shucking station as well. Our Haida Gwaii, which is our seafood station. So we'll have... our cold smoked peppered salmon from Trilogy and Tofino, which is absolutely my favorite smokery. And it just melts in your mouth. Well,
yes.
Obviously, we had it out at the gourmet picnic with serving it with that smoked salmon bisque, which was like
fabulous.
Yeah, so I'm still people. I keep getting emails. People just want me to put that on the menu so bad.
So I'm joked. I never tried it. I was running around that place so much talking to people, and I didn't even hardly try anything.
Oh man, I got to do a bit of a wander, and I was like, wow. I was, you know what, for an event, sorry, I'm skipping way off topic here, but that was just fabulous. That gourmet picnic was just great.
Mm-hmm.
Next year, that was just fabulous.
September 15th.
Yeah.
Is right. The date that they're planning on.
Oh, yeah?
It. So, that's
cool. I'm so in. That was so much fun.
It was so much fun.
Yeah.
Got to bring one extra person so that you can get
exactly. Yeah. I had an apprentice, but I had so much fun sitting at the booth and just yakking at people. It was just awesome because people come up and they see, you know, what you're about, and they can associate a face with the product and know that, okay, yeah, you are backing.
Yeah.
You know, the local
scene.
Culture.
Really, yeah.
So. Yeah, absolutely.
No. The first hour and a half, 2 hours, was a bit painful for myself, but I had my head down going. But after that, it was like, and it was,
yeah,
it was amazing. So.
Same thing, head down. I'm just like going, wow, okay. It was good. I did go fairly easy because I knew when they said, and the numbers jump because I remember originally it was only going to be 400 or 500 people, only 400 or 500.
Yeah.
And then at 750, I'm like, all right, I'm going to need a little bit more than what I thought. Yeah.
Well, they're planning on a few more for next year. But I think they wanted.
That's all right. It was fun. I had a great time, and it was so nice to see because every time I remember doing Feast of Field so many times in the original years with it, right, and just having to go like travel time going down and back.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it was so long and just as much fun, but just having this so close, you're back home in 20 minutes.
Yeah,
it was great.
Do the same thing without the travel.
Without the travel. Yeah.
That's sort of the comment a lot of people have brought up to me, that they're like,
yeah,
I know Aaron was like, I don't know if I'm going to do Feast of Fields next year. He's like, because it's here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So, we got totally off topic.
Yeah. So yeah. We jumped there. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm guessing, well, we probably pretty much all know now that you put in some crazy shifts at work.
Mm-hmm.
You're probably 5, 6, 7 days a week. And
yep.
In
try
and out.
To. It's much, yeah, it is what it is. I mean, the summertime was obviously quite a bit crazier.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? When I wasn't married and I didn't have my kids, I did crazier hours. When I was at the WIC, I did way crazier hours. And now I told myself, I said, I'm going to try and at least get one of my days that I designate to my wife and my kids.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. Whether it's a Sunday or the Monday, I have to, right? Because I just know the look in their face when I see them. When I'm, you know, I barely see them in the morning when I drop them off at school, and then I'm not home to whatever time of night. So that 20 minutes in the morning doesn't cut it for me as a father.
Yeah,
It's tough sometimes. Yeah.
And I'll sneak out. I'll go on a break. I'll spy on them at school. I'll go and walk on them, you know. So, I'll be walking, run out in the middle of the field and they'll be playing and chasing boys or whatever. I'll run over.
Excellent.
They're a huge part of my world. So that's something I promised myself I was going to make sure that they were a big part of that.
Perfect. Mm-hmm. So you must have a wonderful staff.
I have great staff. Yeah.
Yes. How many people do you have working for you then?
I've got my executive Sue right now. My other sous chef Kevin Frisch is now at Martine's now. He's the exec chef there. I've got about 18 under me right now.
Wow.
That's including stewards and prep cooks, apprentices, chef de parties, etc.
It's a pretty big staff.
Yeah. Yep. I have that's an excess of stewards as well, because a lot of part time as well, just because of the nature of the beast in the industry, right?
Especially with summer, doing catering and stuff like that.
Yeah. And it's slimmed down a bit now. I mean, I'd say 18, that was probably the end of summer as well. So I'm probably actually down now to probably about 14.
Right.
14 going in the winter. Christmas coming up too. So that's big time for us at the resort with the catering.
Couple weeks to sort of relax then it's going to start ramping up.
And then it's just going to, November 21st, I think, is our first Christmas party. Wow. So we've got we've got the Boys and Girls Club. We have the Gingerbread House. So there's so much that we need to think about and get going on. I mean, we're already into it right now. I mean, I'm trying to get linens extra linens and red tablecloths for Christmas coming up, right? Because it's right around the corner. Yeah. I mean, I'm laughing now because I thought this was still ways away, but it's not.
Didn't the sun just go away and all of a sudden we're talking about Christmas?
Yeah. No, isn't it? It's like just the turn and the weather and everything, like the fall, the leaves on the ground. I'm like, oh, and just the chill in the air. I'm like, we are here already.
Yeah, we were just wearing shorts 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I just like I took our girls' pool down just, but like 3 weeks ago, 3 or 4 weeks ago. Yeah. And just stunning how it just went.
Flipped like that.
Flipped, yeah. We're out, the day I knew is when I took my youngest one to the pumpkin patch, Shamrock out there, and took him out and prayed him around and grabbed pumpkins. We come home and we got all these pumpkins, and it's funny because the year before, my wife is quite the gardener, and she's got these two big, they're about 18 foot by 4 foot gardens, just, you know, jam-packed full of everything from tomatoes to you name it, and she's got squash and zucchini, and all of a sudden we had a bunch of pumpkins and squash come up. I'm like, going, did you plant squash? No. the compost, because we composted all our pumpkins from the pumpkin patch the year before. So now we've got these, there's this big gate, which I carved today, this great big white pumpkin or squash, and it's called, what do they call it? Cotton candy.
Oh, my daughter got one of those.
Yeah,
yes.
So cotton candy, and so I carved that today, and my other girls we were carving, and one of them, she had one called a cannonball, and it had this really cool corkscrew vine coming out the top of it.
Oh, yeah.
And it was just, it was awesome. I was like, this is great. And it was neat. So, happy Halloween, by the way.
Happy Halloween's coming up. That's right.
Yeah, that's on Wednesday. Wow.
Yeah.
Crazy, so.
Excellent. Okay. Well, probably going to round her up pretty quick here, but why is buying local so important to you?
Buying local to me is very important because every time I go out to the farms and I put a face to the product that's coming in the door. And to me, I know what I'm buying for my children whether I go up to Seaford's, right, and I see the girls selling me and I see the people coming in and they're picking and it's coming right out there into my basket and going home with me. I know that I can associate that. I know that the money I'm putting down is going into their pockets to help them, their livelihood. So that's huge for me. Also, I know what I'm feeding my kids and my wife and my friends. So that's probably number two of the number one reasons that I do that. So.
Excellent. Same
support
for us.
The local economy. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
As much as I can. I mean, like I said, I mean, Crown Isle is a massive venture, so it's difficult. Do I say I do it 100%? I wish I could. Mm-hmm. But I mean, in order to feed kind of volume, it's difficult. But I definitely do it where I can and highlight the menu items, people know it. It's on my menu. If it's local, it's mentioned. So,
yep.
And the farmers are mentioned. I mention as much as I can with whatever I do.
Well, it's just getting that voice out there and getting them exposure. Yep. You know,
yes.
I'm always amazed when we feature one of the local farmers on a fresh sheet and stuff like that. And people are like, I went to the Atlas and I had your greens for dinner last night and they were fabulous. And then they buy some more from them at the farmer's market, you know, like that kind of makes you feel good that you've done something
absolutely,
good.
Because that moves people out to get buying product and buying local as well, supporting everybody. So
as long as they leave us a little.
Yeah.
And what's your favorite part about the Comox Valley?
My favorite part about the valley? Oh, man.
If we haven't touched on that already.
Yeah. I'd have to say, you know what? There's so many. Just peace of mind when I'm here. I just know that everywhere I go, like, there's a friendly face and a friendly voice. Everybody, just the smiles, the way people talk to you. I just think it's such an amazing community-oriented place that, like, people are just friendly and so easygoing and want to give. And you know what? I don't know where else I can find that. Mm-hmm. I just don't. And very food oriented as well. So, mm-hmm. I mean, I came here because I was like, okay. And it's grown so much, but yet it's still small. Mm-hmm. I mean, when I left here, it was tiny. Like, there wasn't, you know, and I come back 20 something years later and I'm like, I can still recognize it. Which is a big thing to me because I thought I'd come back and go, wow. But I still recognize it. And mm-hmm. there's still places around here that I go, wow, I remember that. And I remember that. So, yeah, it's pretty neat. It's pretty neat. And there's still people here that I grew up with. So people come up and they'll still, you know, I'll be walking somewhere and somebody, hey, Big Red. And I'm like going, oh. So I used to have an afro. Like, Big Red afro when I was in high school. That was my nickname, right? But not so much anymore.
Awesome. I'll have to remember that. So,
I came back here because of that, because the people are just, they're good. It's a really good place to grow up, and it's a great place to bring your kids up.
Yeah, so. Good answer.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Thank you very much,
Andrew.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
If you have any events that you want us to talk about, like any menu changes or any feature or anything, just drop us a line and let us know.
I would love to. Absolutely. I'll get you guys up there for sure next time. Next menu changes and
definitely.
Great.
Check it all out.
Perfect.
Good. Okay. Well, we're gonna do a little thing here with Hans Peter Meyer for upcoming events in the Comox Valley, and we hope to have this as sort of a permanent once a month sort of meeting where you come in and give us a bit of a rundown.
Well, it's great for me, and thanks for inviting me because I'm covering several other media, but I'm not. I don't have an audio outlet right now, and what you guys are doing is great. I love what you guys are doing. I think it's just really important. So for me to fit in, so should I just launch into my little roster of events?
Let's launch in and find out what's happening for sure.
Okay, so the first thing is congratulations to Marilee and Chef Steve Dodd at Bisque Restaurant here in Courtney. At the end of October, they've celebrated 5 years of having their doors open there. Encourage anybody who hasn't checked them out to try them. I had a great lunch there a couple of weeks ago.
Yep,
that's great.
Congratulations to them.
Hitting 5 years in a restaurant is quite an accomplishment.
Well, especially in this place, I don't understand how a lot of people do it. You know, like there's so many restaurants in our community. It's incredible. And having said that, congratulations to you, Jonathan, for making it into the Comox Valley Chamber of Commerce 40 Under 40. I hear you were at a big dinner the other night at the Crown Isle?
Yes, Andrew put on a big spread for us there, and it was quite a nice opportunity and nice to chat with everyone and sort of the recognition, and we had a great guest speaker, so it was wonderful.
Yeah, I think it's a great program, that 40 Under 40. It's
it's something, I mean, there's
for
a lot
you
of
young folks, you know, under 40.
I got a couple more years left.
There's a few people that I would like to nominate. I hope they keep this going for a few years, because there's a lot of people out there doing a lot of great work in this community. I'd like to put their names out there for sure. So
yeah. Okay, well, congrats. And then later on this evening, Crown Isle will host their annual wine festival. It's probably the number one, in my mind, it's the top wine event in our little region here. And if people don't have tickets, I don't know if there's still tickets left. It's usually a very busy event. There's as well as a wide range of wines from like all over the place. There's usually some good food, and you'll be talking to the Chef Andrew later on, or after me, or maybe before me. I'm not sure if you already have. Yeah. But
the wonders of editing.
Gregor Mowat, who's the new director of director of operations at Crown Isle, is a real wine guy. I've had dinner there and talked to him a lot about wine, and I'm really excited to see what kind of wines he's helped bring in for the festival. In the middle of the month, Campbell River's Healthway Natural Foods Market is part of a team sponsoring a community forum on genetically modified foods at North Island College in Campbell River. There'll be more information. If people want to follow up on the stuff, they can Google the stuff, or they can go to my online column or the print column for the news and get details.
Excellent.
On the 17th, that weekend, downtown Courtney kicks off its seasonal activities with the Moonlight Weekend, and Union Street Grill and Grotto will be hosting a candlelight dinner. They're reprising the candlelight dinner that BC Hydro kind of encourages.
Right.
Turn your lights off and have dinner by candlelight. We went last week and had a great meal, and turning the lights off just really changes things. It makes it really romantic and quite special.
It's a different experience for sure.
So that's November 17th. It's an interesting month. After all of a whole flurry of harvest-related things in September and October, things are kind of settling down. We've got a bunch of events like this one here. The Comox Valley Beekeepers will be having their meeting and potluck at the Dove Creek Hall on the 27th. There's a few other ones like that I've got. They're more about food organizations doing indoor winter kind of activities, and they're not the big celebrity things. And we've got a bit of a lull before the festive season starts.
The Christmas season with everyone and Christmas parties and celebrations. Yeah. And
I am, however, I don't know this for sure. I'm missing the harvest table that Chef Aaron Rail and Connie have put together for at Avenue, but I'm anticipating that on the last Monday of the month they'll be trying to do another one of these one big table type events. I've been to a few of them. They're a lot of fun. They're really social, and the food is great. So that's what I've got on my list here.
Great.
Yes. As for my list, I think I've only got really a couple of the Chefs Association stuffs going on.
Yep.
They're still looking for competitors for the Junior Hot Competition at North Island College on November 19th.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a great opportunity for some junior chefs or people who are looking to break into the industry to compete and, find out what that world of competition, food competition, is all about. So there's an opportunity to sign up for that. You can find out information, I believe, from the North Vancouver Island Chefs Association. Also, they have their Chefs Association meeting. I got a notice the other day that there's still room for any members of the association that are looking to do an isomalt demonstration, which is sugar work presentation, and that'll be at Lake Trail on November 5th. Unfortunately, I won't be there because I'll be at the event at Crown Isle.
Right.
They're doing aquaculture dinner. It's Tides Canada is putting it on, and it's land-based aquaculture. So I'll be working with yellow perch, which I've been playing with all day. So
yeah.
It's been a lot of fun.
We ate a lot of it tonight.
Part of our dinner tonight. So
yeah. I have one event to promote. World Communities having a film. It's not really food related. It's called Pink Ribbons Incorporated, and it looks at the it's a documentary looking at the fundraising of the Pink Ribbon campaigns and all the other campaigns in the, you know, if they're actually doing as much good as they say they are. So anyways, I like to throw out a little bit for World Community because I think they do some pretty neat things, and get out there to the North Island College Stanhagen Theater and watch a film. So
excellent.
Yeah. They also sell great coffee in our community. So
yes, that's right. And chocolate.
And chocolate.
Yeah. Very good. All right, thanks, Hans, for coming in.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, thanks for listening to the Edible Valley Podcast. We gratefully accept donations to help with the operating costs of the podcast or local ingredients to create new dishes in the Edible Valley Test Kitchen. Check our website, ediblevalley.com. Like us on Facebook and follow our Twitter feed, at Edible Valley. Email us with your comments or guests and subject matter you would like us to talk about on the show, ediblevalley@gmail.com. Thanks for listening, and remember, keep it local.